Blog Talk Radio.
In John 3:16,
says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And I thank God that first showing us how to love, and we were able, because he showed us how to love, that we in turn were able to know how to love him and how to love one another. Yes, to God be the glory for the great and mighty things that he has done. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. And we want you to call a neighbor, call a friend, and tell them that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. I'd like to take the opportunity to introduce to you our panelists today on Breakthrough Broadcast. They are Miss Helen Cooper, Pastor Francina Shanks, Evangelist Geraldine Spencer, and yours truly, the host of Breakthrough Broadcast, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Our topic today will be acting with compassion. And we just want to share with you that key verse, and the key verse today that we want you to focus in on is taken from Leviticus, the 19th chapter and the 34th verse. "The stranger that dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. But ye were strangers in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God." And the Lord letting us know here that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to love those that are strangers as ourselves. We are to honor them. We are to do for them, even as God have already done for us. Remember, we were all sinners and saved by the grace of God. So I thank God for Heavenly Father for instructing his people and showing us how to love one for another. And it doesn't matter just because you know that individual. It doesn't matter because that person may be wealthy, or that person may have a good job, status in the community is very high, or they have a good reputation, whether it may be, they may be rich or poor, whatever it may be, but the Word of God let us know that we're not to have respect of person. And when we talk about acting with compassion, this is what God will have us to do. We are not just to, you know, sometimes we say that we have compassion on different individuals in our life. We see things in their life happening to them, no matter what the situation may be. We see things happening in their lives, and we say, "Oh, I feel so sorry for them." For, you know, they may be blind, they maybe can't see, they maybe can't hear, they have maybe crippled, whatever the situation may be. Maybe they even they don't have the materialistic things of life, whatever it may be. To be able in order to sustain them from day to day. But it's time for us to not just look on people and feel sorry for them, but we need to have compassion on these people, on people that we don't even know. Because I believe that it's worthwhile reading again, and that in Leviticus, that 34th verse, and all of you that may not have your Bibles this afternoon with you, I want you just to take this scripture to heart, because it says, "The stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you." It's even as they may have known you. You take this person as you have known them all your life. You are to treat them with respect. You are to love them. And this is what God is saying to us. He said, "But you were strangers." He reminded the Israelites that they were strangers in the land of Egypt. But he, the Lord God, he came and he made a difference in our lives. And even if he came to make a difference in our lives, then we ought to make a difference in somebody else's life. And, you know, I don't look at us because that and put us on a pedestal because of the fact that we may be a general manager of our company, or we may be a CEO, or we may have a doctorate degree, we may have a master's degree. It doesn't matter with that. God look at us as his people, one that he loved. It doesn't matter because he came to seek and save them that are lost. And when I look at people, we ought to look at them as people. We have to remember and forget not how we entertain strangers, because we just entertain angel unaware. So I want you to know that we are excited about today's study, again, acting with compassion. And we have some wonderful topics that we're going to be talking about today. And we want you to just get ready, because I believe that this is something that God wants his people, and God wants everyone to be able to operate in compassion. You know, in the day that we're living in, there are people that have forgotten how to have compassion on one another and to one another. We can look and we can see, as I said before, things happen in their life, but where is the compassion? Where is that love? I thank God that God loved me so much and God loved you so much that he had this compassion upon us. And that compassion should not be a superficial compassion, but it ought to be a bit, like a deep sympathy. And if you got sympathy and love for somebody, then you're going to step out and you're going to make a difference. You know, when the other person hurt, you are hurt as well. Hurt enough to do something about that situation. Do something hurt enough to say, you know, you may be hurting, you may be in sorrow, you may be in pain, but you may have misfortune, but I want to help you. I want to alleviate the suffering, whatever you're going through. I want to do that. But we're going to get into our study on today, and we're just going to bless the Lord how God is going to move on today. And our first topic that we're going to be talking about is compassion for the less fortunate. That's an awesome, awesome topic that we're going to talk about. And also, we're going to talk about honest deeds and words. And the person that's going to come to the forefront on this panel and lead the way will be none other than Miss Helen Cooper. We'd like to welcome Miss Helen Cooper to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and hello to the listening audience and to our Breakthrough family. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, for having me on again today. It's a blessing. And I am going to be talking about compassion for the less fortunate, and it is going to be coming from Leviticus 19th chapter, 9th through the 14th verse, and I'm going to start at the 9th verse, and it says, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of that field, neither shall thou gather the gleanings of that harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God." And verse 11 says, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie on one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall that profane the name of the of God. I am the Lord. That shall not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse to death, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but thou shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord." And this is coming from, like I said, Leviticus 19 chapter. That was the 9th through the 14th verse. And here we are talking about acting with compassion. And as we know that Leviticus, the book of Leviticus was written, it has rules for worship, for sacrifices, how to live, and how to give offering and homage to God, how to worship God. The things that, like in Exodus, before we get the book before Leviticus, we see that God gave in Exodus 20, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments are really, if you look at them, if you go down and say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet that neighbor, you know, that neighbor's, whatever that neighbor has, it is teach. The Ten Commandments actually does teach us how to be compassionate. But in here we say we have the compassionate for the less fortunate. That means that God would have us to look on his people. People help people all the time, but sometimes people tend to look over the less fortunate and look over the needy, saying that, you know, they don't need this or they don't need that. They had the same opportunities as I had, or they had the same, they could have afforded themselves to do this and they could have afforded themselves to do that. But God would have us to have compassion on his people. The needy people are God's people also, just not the fortunate people, just not the people that pay their tithes every Sunday, just not the people that work for Fortune 500 companies and they can build this and they can build that. The needy is God's people also. He looked, if you go way back into the scriptures, even when he was feeding the 5,000 and they followed him, when Jesus went across and they followed him, and when he got there and he saw the multitudes, the Bible says he had compassion for them, meaning he felt sorry for them. They moved on his heart. And even after, and then it said he started teaching them again. And when the apostles tried to send them away, he said to send them away to get them something to eat, the Lord turned around and said, no, you'll give them something. So God has come, he had compassion on the people. We see he's an example all through the Bible where he stopped and he healed people. He gave, you know, he gave sight to the blind. I mean, he raised the dead. He took time out for people. I mean, the needy people. And he also said that he didn't come for the ones that are well. He came for the ones that are sick. So Jesus was all among the people. He did not stay in one place. He did not stay in the tabernacle or stay in the church, per se, these days and times, and just preached and preached and preached to the same old people. He got out among the people. He healed them. He loved them. This just shows his compassion for us, that he loves so much, that he does different things for us. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. And this also helps us build the kingdom of God. What kindness have I drawn thee? When you're trying to win a soul for the kingdom, when you're trying to win a soul for Christ, you want to be compassionate with that person. You don't want to look at them and, like, beat them over the head with the Bible, as some people will call it, or just judge them, look at them and judge them and say, well, you know, you could have done this and you could have done that. That's not what they're coming to you for. They're coming to you because they need help. They want help. And when you open up your heart, when you have compassion for people, when you feel what they're feeling and they can see that, that's where our testimonies come in, because some people think they're in things all along and all by themselves, but they're really not. If you go down, if you come down to where they are and you open up your heart and you get their understanding and you show them compassion, you will draw them to Christ. That's how we build God's house. That's how we build God's kingdom, and they will come on over and they'll start serving the Lord. But some things, you know, sometimes people overlook the needy. He put things in place for the needy. He said, he told them, do not pick up the law was you cannot even go back and glean your own vineyard. Leave something for the poor. There was provisions made for the poor and for the needy. That's why we should take our, as the Bible tells us, to take our tithes to the storehouse so there will be meat there for my people. So when people come, the church will be able to help them. I've seen some people, you know, do something a little different than what the Bible, a lot different than what God's word says, but that's not how he would have us to act. When people come to us for help, we should try to help them. If they genuinely need help, we should try to help them. That's why God gives us that love. He loves us, and we should share that love, and we should share that compassion. And then in Leviticus 19:11-14, it says, honest deeds and words towards one another and towards people, not taking the Lord's name in vain, you know, not lying and not cheating and not getting things deceitfully, because we know when we get things deceitfully, it does not work out that way. God says vengeance is his, and if you surely got it by deceit or by trying to fool somebody with trickery and trying to do underhanded deeds or like it was saying here, holding somebody that worked for you and you trying to hold their wages and you're not paying them like you're supposed to, that's not honorable. And that's not honoring God at all. God wants his people to be upright. He wants them to be righteous, and he wants them to walk in holiness. He wants them to be holy. He wants them to do things according to what his word says. And what his word says is that we should do things in the right way. Being men and women of God, we should do things in the right way. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired. All of us get tired because sometimes in the place where I work, there's a lot of needy people, and I love God's people. But sometimes, you know, it starts to pull on you a little bit. But what I have to do is I have to go back to God and ask him to give me strength to help his people. Show me what to do next because I'm getting burnt out right there, and I don't want to because I know God has applied this thing to my hand. So if he's applied this thing to my hand, he's going to certainly give me strength to do it. He's going to certainly give me strength to finish this task that he's put before me. The needy are people that God put upon this earth too. He said, the poor we will have, you will have always. So we know that there has to be things put in place for poor and for the needy. Compassion. God loves us, and we should love one another. We should love people that are less fortunate than us. We should get out there and try to do and see what we can do. If God has applied something to your hands, you need to go forth with it, men and women of God. We don't need to sit still. Some people I've seen turn up their noses or they go out into communities. They don't hardly want to touch the people. They want to come into the communities. They want to preach, but they don't want those people to touch them. They don't want them to come near them, maybe because they don't have shoes and they don't have the right amount, the clothes. The clothes might be a little disheveled, or they might be a little dirty because they don't have means of taking a bath. But I tell you, God would have us to have compassion on his people. He loves us, so we should love them. And as far as deeds and honest words, I always tell the young ladies that I mentor, you can never build your happiness on somebody else's sorrow. So you cannot treat people any kind of way. You have to have compassion. You have to have love. That's why people know that you're a Christian. That's how they know that you serve God, that you know that you love God because of the love that you show to people. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Hooper, for blessing us this afternoon. Truly, we thank God because I believe that the Lord is speaking again, you know, to his people because he's concerned about the poor. He is concerned about the needy. He's concerned about those that are sick and those that are shut in. Whatever condition may be, that we cannot turn our face any longer from those that are in need. We cannot face each day and have the necessities of life in our own home, of things that the bank account that we have. We cannot continually to have the jobs that we have. And truly, God has opened the windows of heaven. And yes, he has poured a blessing that there be not be room enough to receive. He has rebuked the devourer for our sake. And because he has rebuked the devourer for our sake, and he has loved us in a great and mighty way, then we ought to love one another. And I believe that there are some of you out there today that can understand and know what the Breakthrough Broadcast is speaking of today and what Ms. Hooper had just finished giving you, what the Lord has said through the Word of God about compassion for the less fortunate. All of us, I believe that many people have been in one place or another. It may not have been that you may have needed food. It may have been finances. It may have been a need, you know, for clothing for your children or whatever it may have been. It may have been a job or whatever. You've gone through a situation in your life and you needed somebody to have compassion on you. I believe when you went before the Most High God, you wanted God to have compassion on you, to open up the windows of heaven, to be able to touch the hearts of the people that you were seeking a job from. And I believe that even as God have made a way when it seemed to be no way for you, you ought to make a way and open up your heart towards those that are crippled, those that are blind, those that are less fortunate, those that are hungry, those back of a person that with the back lady, back gentleman on the streets, you ought to be able in order to help them. You ought to be able sometimes that you're in the line in the grocery store, and you ought to be able sometimes, because I believe that God has blessed so many of people that they can pay for the groceries for the person that's ahead of them, or if they can be able to, you may be going through a line and even at a fast food chain or whatever, and you can show the love of God. You can just even have a heart and say, God love you, and tell that person that the window to give them that and their meal has been paid for. It is so many ways that we can show compassion one for another. Are there any people at your church that are crippled? Is there anybody at your church that's disabled? Is there anybody at your church that's sick or on the sick list that they have sometimes in these different churches? You ought to be able to open your heart to them, and you ought to be able not to just hear the name called, pray for this person, we're praying for this person, this man or this woman, boy or girl. You need to be able to not only to pray for them, but you ought to be able to go and you ought to be able to see about them. Whatever act of kindness you can do, you ought to be able, because we're talking about today acting with compassion. And I thank God for Ms. Hooper, and she talked to us about the compassion for the less fortunate and the honesty and words, which was taken from Leviticus, the 19th chapter 9 and 4 through the 14th verse, and then Leviticus, the 19th chapter 11 through the 13th verse. And it's so much that God is speaking to his people that we're going to be held accountable for a lot of things that we do not do. The seek for living, some people, they steal, you know, from the poor, the wages, when you're in a store, you're the owner, or you're the manager, and you tell them to wait, when you're getting ready, the way need or weigh something, and it's not correct, and you know it's not correct, God is going to deal with that. When you're a liar, God's going to deal with you. You bear false witness, God's going to deal with that. When you have passed judgment against people, God will deal with that. He will deal with you. And because of the fact that God would deal with us, we want to have a right mind. We want a heart to be right before the Most High God. And we just thank God because, you know, there is more to come in this discussion today on Breakthrough Broadcast. And the next week, I'm talking about respect for the disabled and compassionate in attitude. And that is taken from Leviticus, the 19th chapter and the 14th verse. It reads, thou shalt not curse the deed, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God, for I am God. He said, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor, for I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of the people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And you know what? I thank God that God has given us instructions in how we should live, just as he gave the Israelite instruction how they were to live. God has given us instructions through the Word of God, how we should live, how we should operate every day, what our agenda is, what our mode of operation should be every day of our lives. And you know what? Sometimes we look in the Word and we may say, well, this was just for the Israelites. You know, this is just for these sects of people because they didn't know how to act right. They didn't know what to say and what to do, and they were just disobedient. And but yet God's word is for all of us. We can profit, we can learn, we can be stronger in our walk with God and more confident in our walk with God if we do what's right and we do what God is speaking to us to do. When I began to look at these verses, I want to just share with you what the Lord showed me in these verses. And it's really just a recap of what I just read. We are not to curse the deep. We're not to put stumbling blocks before the blind. It's just like putting a blind, block or putting a stone, and you see if the person is blind and that person is going to fall over. You know, sometimes, and even within our way of living, sometimes we probably put stumbling blocks for people to just to stumble over or to hurt themselves. And it not just may be a block, it's the way that we do, it's the way that we think. And God don't want us to be such a person, or we don't want us to be able to walk in unrighteousness. But God wants us to have a clean heart, and God wants us to have a right spirit. He says also, he said, fear our God. This is what he was saying in Leviticus 19th chapter. He said, fear our God, and because he is God. And then he says, we are not to do unrighteous. All unrighteousness is sin. Everything that that is not according to God's word is sin. And it tells us that we are not to do unrighteousness in our judgment to people. We're not to judge people unrighteous and cause them to be put to death. Put into prison, cause them to be hurt or bruised or anything. We're not to do that. We're not to have wrath judgment against other people. We have to treat people the way that God wants us to treat them. And then it tells us that we're not even to have respect for poor. You know, we have respect for people. You know how sometimes that we can see the rich person or the wealthy person, the person blessed in the three-piece suit, and then we have respect to them, but then we don't have respect to the poor. But God don't want us to have respect to the poor or to that rich or wealthy person. We are treat both of them as God people. You know, sometimes we're running, we can be in a building and we see someone or in a certain maybe a building or a congregation, a gathering, and we see someone that's of importance come in, and we'll get up, and you may have seen even the poor person come in first. You wouldn't give that seat to them. But if you knew it was somebody that was going to be able to give you, that you'll get some glory out of it, then you'll be glad to get up and give your seat. But God don't want us to have respect a person. God wants us to love the way that he would love. But he tells us to love. He tells us to have that righteous judge when we're judging our neighbor. He tells us not to be a talebearer among the people. Don't go around telling things, or don't be a telling other people's business, things that you have been given to keep in confidence. God don't want us to do that, telling other things that happen to other people. This is one of the things that God is saying, even in Leviticus. God is telling people what they are not to do. And yes, many people are guilty of being a talebearer. And then it says, keep far from false matters. So things are not true. You know, even people that don't speak truth, even people that speak unrighteousness, you know, we have to be careful who we are around. Bad communication corrupts good manner. But here the word of God tells us here, as one of my points that I've seen as I was looking at it, he said, don't hate your brother in your heart. You know, it seems like the Lord is looking upon the people, and you know, no matter what others may have done to you, do to you, said to you, may have mistreated you, yet the word of God letting us know that we are not to hate Our brother, that is such a harsh word when we say hate. Yes, we ought to hate sin, but we ought to love one another, even as God has loved us. So I think that is so important. It says, don't, you know, rebuke our neighbor, that do not avenge or bear grudges against the children of your people. And there's so many times you find people, you know, there may be some of you out in our radio broadcast today that may have grudges against people, people that you thought have done you wrong, people that you thought have mistreated you, people that you thought was talking about you, people that may have actually have done these things, mistreated you, abused you in some kind of way. But God don't want us to, you know, to hold grudges in our heart. See, when we have grudges, then we can't be compassionate. We can't have any love when we holding grudges one with another. God wants us to walk in love. So remember that. It says we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's my last point on this. These scriptures that God has given to us today is that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, if we can just love our neighbor, and I'm just not talking about the people that's next door to you. I'm talking about those people all around you or those people that you meet. We ought to love our neighbor. We can love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I believe that we'll do very, very well, because there's not too many people that do not love themselves. So therefore, we need to love one another. And I just want to thank you today for letting me share respect for the disabled, those that are blind and crippled or whatever it may be, those that have, you know, they have problems in their life. So I thank you for letting us take that time. You listening, our radio broadcast audience, at what God is saying, because I think it is instruction to his people. And then we're going to get ready, and we're going to talk about restrain in speaking. And that's taken from Leviticus, the 19th chapter and the 16th verse. And then it's going to be followed up with love for neighbors. And that's going to be taken from Leviticus 19 chapter 17 through the 18th verse. And that's going to come from Pastor Francina Shanks. And we would like to take this opportunity to welcome Pastor Shanks to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Praise the Lord. I am so glad God has allowed me to be on this broadcast today. To God be the glory. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, for inviting me. I'm going to start at Leviticus, the 19th chapter and the 16th verse, a restraint in speaking. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Well, you know, the Lord really hates us as Christians being talebearers and gossips. And this word really showed me up, and I repented. And I'm talking about myself today. Praise God. And when you let the word God show you where you are in him, and you repent of it, and you go on. Because God is helping you if you will yield yourself to the Lord. And I want to just end on in. I just want him to tell me that last day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Praise the Lord. You know, God just hates gossiping. He don't even want us listening to gossip. He don't even want us spreading it. Because if we spread it, we can become the victim of it too. I believe it's all equally painful to the Lord, and God does not like it. Praise God. He even puts gossip and slander right in there with murderers, envy, strife, deceit, and haters of God. It's in Romans, the first chapter, 29th through the 31st verse. And he also says in his word, the perverse mouth I hate, Proverbs 3:8-13. God does not want his people doing that. So I'm speaking to you today, beloved. and myself, because I always take the word and apply it to myself. And God lets me see myself in his word. So I humble myself, and I ask God to help me, and I repent it. Praise God. God does not want his people doing that. You know, he wants us, he's raising up a holy people. He's coming back for a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And sometimes we can get caught in this very thing. You know, we can be around the wrong people sometimes. And we know it's wrong, and they'll get to talking, and we'll hear it, and we'll get right on in with it. God don't want us doing that. He wants us to be holy people. The Bible says in Psalm 101 and 5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Praise God. So God hates that. He wants his people to come up a little higher. And, you know, I want to come up a little higher. In the book of James, the third chapter, it talks about the tongue. In verse 3, it says, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. If you don't offend in anything, James is saying him by the Holy Ghost, you're a perfect man or woman, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, wherever the governor or the captain wants that ship to go. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire will kindle. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell, where Satan will use it. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. And I've seen man tame different animals. You have too. You've gone to the zoo. I went to SeaWorld. I was just amazed how those tamers work and train and tame those dolphins and those orcas. Praise God. So man has been given the ability to tame even beasts and every the serpents and the birds. But here in James, the Holy Ghost is saying through the man of God, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. There we bless God, even the Father, and then we curse with the same tongue. We are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water or fresh water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olive berries? Either fig tree vine bear figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And who is a wise man or woman among you, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conscience a conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. For if we have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom comes from above, from beneath. It's sensual. It's earthly. It's your flesh. It's devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good work fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So God wants us to watch our tongue. We have to put a restraint on our tongue, even when people do us wrong. I know it's hard, brothers and sisters. It is very hard. But God has been working on me. I'm speaking about myself today. He has been working on me and working on my character, how I can, when somebody says something to me in a very unkind word, to turn away that unkind word, what they said to me was so hard, with a soft answer. Because the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And God don't want us going about being tail bearers and here standing against the life of your neighbor. You know, everybody's our neighbor. It's not just the person that lives next door to you, the man in the grocery store, that teller, that cashier. That's our neighbor, your doctor, the people that sit in the waiting room with you when you go to the doctor. Those are your neighbors, not just the people living next door to you. Everywhere you go, of every nation, kindred, and tongue, these are your neighbors, and Jesus demonstrated that when he told the story about the Good Samaritan. And he was telling the story about different people, people in different walks of life. And so God wants us to be kind to everybody. He wants us to manifest goodness in our character and kindness. There are fruits of the Spirit, and we got to learn how to curb our tongue. And when we do that and we walk in kindness, it will break that abrasive and harsh attitude that we have. We got to practice it, brothers and sisters. It's just like you putting on your blouse or you put on a jacket. You have to put on love. You have to put on kindness. You have to put on meekness and goodness. You have to practice what the words say. And the Lord specifically speaks on that. And I'm so glad that I'm able to endure chastisement, brothers and sisters, when God is chastening us. The Bible says he chastened them, he's love. He says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If we endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons or daughters. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not, a daughter, that he does not chasten? But if you be without chastisement, whereof are all our partakers, then are you bastards and not sons or daughters. I don't want to be a bastard child. You know, God has adopted us into his family. And I'm so glad because of his love and his mercy, he adopted us into his family. Praise God. So if we endure chastening, which all our partakers, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. You know, you corrected your children. I have corrected mine. We were corrected by our father and mother when we were coming up, and we gave them reverence. You know, they put a fear in us. I know my mother did and my dad did. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, he's chasing us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame is turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. I'm so glad I endured the chastening of the Lord because I know he loves me. If he didn't love me, he wouldn't have chastened me. Praise God. So I just want to encourage you today, brothers and sisters, let us not get caught up in gossiping and slandering people. God don't want us to do that. He want us to, if we see ourselves doing that, do as I did and repent and ask God to help you, and he will help you. I'm a witness, he will help you. Praise God. Because he want us to show life to everybody out here, to our neighbors. Everybody's our neighbor. It's not just the person next door. I'm going now to love for neighbor, Leviticus 19, 17, and 18. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance and nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Glory to God. You know, God wants us to love one another as being his people, and he wants us to love everybody. That's why he gave the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. There are two commandments. And he said these two commandments are the whole law in itself, the law he gave Moses. If we love our neighbor, we're not going to steal from our neighbor. If we love our neighbor, we're not going to commit adultery against our neighbor, or we're not going to desire what our neighbor has. We're not going to bear false witness against our neighbor. That's what it's saying here in this scripture in Leviticus. We are not to do that. We're not to bear sin against our neighbor. We're not to do that even against our brothers and sisters in Christ. And over here in Matthew 5, when Jesus was on the mountain, I call it the Sermon on the Mount. Some people say the Beatitudes, but I like to say the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus was on the sermon, was sitting on this in this scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, ministering to the multitude of people in Matthew chapter 5, he began to teach on that, about how we are to love our neighbors and even love them, our enemies as well. And he said in Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 43, "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. If they curse you or they sin against you, you bless them. That curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You know you're going to have people that despitefully use you, and you can see it. God will let you know. But we are to pray for them. We are to bless them which despitefully use us. Pray for them and persecute you. I know how I was persecuted when I was teaching. I had other teachers that persecuted me because I didn't go the way they were going. I wasn't going the way of the world with them. They would sit out there and be talking about all kind of stuff, you know, things that were ungodly. I didn't want to get into an ungodly conversation with them about their boyfriends and sex and talking about the other teachers and different stuff like that and the parents. And so I separated myself from them. God told me to. I separated myself. I stayed in my classroom. When I would go on my lunch break, I would go out, get what I want to get, come back to my classroom. A lot of times I would eat lunch in my classroom, but I separated myself from them. And they thought that was so swaying. Well, she thinks she better than anybody else. No, it wasn't that I thought I was better than anybody else, but I had to make a difference. I had to show a standard. I had to let my light shine in that darkened place because many of them in there did not know the Lord. So I had to make a difference in that place. And so many times, you know, I was persecuted, but I did what Jesus said right here. I blessed them that persecuted me. I prayed for them. And he said that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sendeth rain on the just as well as on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward are you going to have? Because even the people that don't know God do the same thing. I mean, they do the same thing, so we got to be different. We can't be like the world. And if we salute them, your brother, what do you more than they, than others? Do not even the publicans so? They show honor. And the Lord always told me, always when you go to work, speak, say good morning. I would go to work and speak and say good morning. Nobody would say good morning back to me. And I would say, Lord, I did what you said. Because we are his children. If we do what he say, I had my mentor, she used to say this all the time. She said, if you do what the Bible say, you'll get Bible results. But I turned it around. I said, if you do what Jesus say, you'll get righteous results. And God will see what you're doing. Because Jesus is the word. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. All things were created by him, and there was nothing made that was not made. And so if we do what the Word says, we're walking in the Spirit. A lot of you out there question, how do you walk in the Spirit? When you do what the Word says, because the Word is Spirit and in life, the Bible says. So if we do what the Word says, then we're walking in the Spirit. And then the Bible says also that when we do what the Word says, we're walking in the Spirit, then God's love is perfected in us. So I just want to encourage you today, brothers and sisters, love your neighbor. Your neighbor is not just the one living next door to you. Love them that hate you. Love them that curse you. I know it's not easy. I've been there, and I'm still going to that. It's some of you meet rude people. I meet rude people all the time. And then when I meet them, I say to the Lord, Lord, they just can't help being that way. They just can't help being that way. And God is showing me another area in what to deal with. You know, some of you out there have grandchildren and children, and a lot of them are around the wrong people. And so, you know, I just got up so upset at some of the children that my grandchildren are hanging with. The children were very rude in the way they talk and everything. And so I got angry with those young people. But God began to show me another way how to deal with those young people. I began to pray for them. I asked God to move those ungodly influence from around my grandchildren. And you know what? I have to show the love of God to those children because they can't help themselves that they are bound by different things, just like I was, just like some of you were, you know. So I began to pray another way for those children. And that's what you got to do. Pray for those children, your children and grandchildren. Pray for those ungodly influences around your children, but walk in love toward those ungodly children that are influencing your children because they can't help the way they are. So I began to pray another way. Lord, this little girl can't help the way she's like that, Lord. Save her soul. Bring out of darkness into your light. And so I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, today. And right before I turn it back over to Dr. McCoy, I like to say shalom to my Jewish brothers and sisters who are coming to the Lord, who have now know that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. And I want to say shalom to you. And I want to thank Dr. McCoy for allowing me to be on here. And I thank God. And Ms. Helen Hooper, you really blessed me today, my sister. And I love you dearly in the Lord. Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank God for the word of God. We would like to thank God because he is God, and because he is God, and he is God all by himself. We need to know how to restrain. We need to know ourselves. We need to know how to be obedient, and we need to walk in righteousness, and we're not to be talebearers. There are so many things that God has shown us. The Bible says we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So a lot of things that we need to be free of today. And God is causing the word to come forth today that we will be free, that we won't have to be, that we won't have to walk in darkness. When we walk in darkness, we are not walking in the light. And Jesus is the light of the world. When we ask God to forgive us for our sin, we truly must repent. We truly must mean what we say when we ask God to forgive us and cause our lives to line up with the word, because he will forgive us for everything that we've done. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. And we thank God for the topic by Pastor Shanks, Restrain and Speaking, Leviticus 19 and 16. And the second topic that she talked about was love or neighbors, which was taken from Leviticus, the 17th chapter, and the 18th verse. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome the woman of God to our broadcast, who's going to be speaking to us today about compassion and personal dealing, which is taken from Leviticus 19. 33 and 37, fairness in business. It's going to be taken also from Leviticus 19, chapter 32, verse, and rational for compassion, which is taken from that 37th verse. And we would like to take this opportunity to welcome to our broadcast again, Evangelist Geraldine Spencer.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. To the Breakthrough Broadcast and Dr. McCoy, I'd like to say thank you for being a part of the discussion of the Word of God. I'm going to be coming from compassion and personal dealings. The first part is fairness to strangers, and that's Leviticus 19, 33 and 34, and I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, and it says, And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And here, God, in other words, is being wanting us to be mindful that, you know, we all were in a position where we were strangers. There have been a point in time where we've been strangers. Even when we started our job, we started a job, we were strangers there. And to realize that, in other words, don't treat people the way that you have been treated, but treat them better. And he was letting the Israelites know that I am the Lord thy God, the one that brought you out of Egypt. I am the one that has given you everything and has done everything for you. Be generous in your treatment to the strangers in the land. And, you know, in other words, when you were, when the Israelites were strangers in Egypt, how, in other words, they know what was done to them. They know how things took place. And God was saying to them, you know, now that I've brought you out, don't treat, you know, people the way that you were treated in Egypt. But, you know, be better, you know, unto them. You know, give an example. I'm calling you forth to be an example, to be an example and an extension of me, to show, you know, my compassion, to show my love, and to be humble and to be respectful and to be do that which is good, which is good. And we know that some of us, we know the word of God, some of us, we have heard the word of God, but we still know wrong from right. We know when we are operating, amen, and we're doing things to another person because, in other words, they have done something to us, and, you know, and stuff. And, you know, God knows, and God knows our heart, because in the word of God, you say, man, look on the outward appearance, but God knows the heart. So, you know, no matter how we try to cover it up and stuff, and how we try to, you know, decorate it, God still knows our heart. He still knows our heart. He knows where, whether we are being, you know, compassionate from the heart or whether we are being compassionate because, in other words, we're hoping and looking for something in return from the person or people that we are being compassionate to and stuff. So, you know, in other words, do it, amen, from the heart. Let the love of God be in you, in your heart, that it will flow outward and it will show. And he also, in other words, was letting them know that this is still a good principle for God's people to follow. Because when you look at it, I always think about how Jesus gave the definitive illustration of this principle in his story to the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:30-36. Amen. And how, in other words, be that good Samaritan. Be that, not the one that just passed by and go across to the other side and go talking about it, but, amen, be compassionate enough to go and to see and to help and to, you know, take them upon and help them get to where they need to get to and to help them get what they need if you don't have it. Amen. And the next section is fairness in business, Leviticus 19:35-36. And that reads, ye shall do no unrighteous in judgment, in meat yard, in weight or in measure. Just balances, just weight, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Here on the Lord, in other words, is saying, be fair in everything. Don't be unjust dealings with people. Don't be unjust dealings in business. Say, for example, if you are at a store and you're the manager or the supervisor of that store, and you see a friend or a family member, or even a sister or brother in Christ that come in, and you want to, amen, treat them better, you know, than just a regular customer. And, you know, we know and we see that in the word of God. We are not to do that. We are to do, in other words, the just. We are to do, in other words, the things that are right, you know, for everybody. Because, you know, just because this is a person that you don't know. You don't know what God has in store, what how God is using them. So you can't go by an outward appearance, or you can't go by, you know, family and friends. You got to do the right thing for everybody. And when you're in position, because if you're in position and you're doing things like that, God going to see that, and God going to be, okay, well, you know what, you're not ready to be promoted, you know, until another higher position. In other words, there's something still here that you gotta learn and gotta get out of you. And God is showing here in the Word of God that these are His commands. In other words, for us to live and to follow by, we, you know, have no excuse. The reason why we would treat someone better than we would treat the other person when they both are asking for the same thing. Amen. And I know that God, you know, He has favor on whom He chooses to have favor on in compassion. But that's not for us to do that. Our thing is to just do what is right. You know, and I know that there are times that God does touch, you know, people's heart to do things for us, but let it be done by Him, not by our hand. Amen. And here I also see that He was letting the Israelites know that He said, you know, I am, you know, in verse 36, He says that I am the last part of it. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. In other words, He was saying to them, remember, I am the one that did this for you. I am the one. In other words, be an extension and a representation of me by being compassionate, by being representation of my character towards, you know, everyone, towards, you know, who comes before you. Do that which is righteous and which is just. Don't treat someone unjust because of the way they look, or because they, you know, could have been someone that cut you off in traffic, and here they're standing right in front of you and they need something from you. You know, are you going to be unjust and unrighteous to them because of something that they did, you know, and stuff? But here you got, in other words, walk in the commands of the Lord and be as believers and be as Christ, as the example that He has set before. And His Word is our guide for us how to be. And we all have a choice. We all have a choice. He's not going to force it upon us. We have a choice to do that which is fair, which is right, which is compassion. We have a choice. He is not going to force it upon us. Amen. That's the purpose of Jesus going to the cross and dying, for giving us that choice. And if we want to choose to go on and continue to treat people because of the way we've been treated, then, you know, God is going to deal with us on that. He's going to deal with us on that, and He's going to show us that we're not going to go any further. But here God is letting us know, do not do that. Do not be that unjust. Do not be that unrighteous person, but be an example. Remember, I am the one that was with you when other people and other nations and stuff was against you. That's what He's saying to the Israelites. I chose you. I chose you not because you were many, but because you were few. And here we are to be examples of God's extension of His love, His compassion. And in the last part is verse 37, Leviticus 19 and 37, and it says rationale for compassion. And verse 37, and it says, therefore shall ye observe all thy statutes and all thy judgments and do them. I am the Lord. And He, in other words, reminding us, okay, now you've heard the Word of God, you've read the Word of God. Now, only thing you got to do is be obedient and do it. You know, yeah, we may, you know, fall short in some things, but realize where you're falling short at, and don't keep falling short in it. Amen. Like, hallelujah, the sister said before that, in other words, repent. And repent means to turn away from it and to go in a totally different direction. So, you know, don't just keep saying, well, you know, I keep falling short in this area, I keep falling short in this area. But in other words, really, God, I need you to help me and to make me that, in other words, why I'm able to do what your words say to do. And Lord, most of all, let me do it in love. Let me do it in love. Let the love of God be in my heart, that I'm able to observe all your statutes and to observe thy judgments and to do them. to glorify you, because the word of God said, you know, we need to do things that are pleasing unto the Lord, not unto man, pleasing unto the Lord, because when we please God, that's where blessings, that's where everything comes from, because he's the one that holds it all. Amen. And he's holding it right there for us, but in things we got to exemplify characteristics of him in other words to get those, and not just doing it because we know that we can get it, but in other words, to have it in our heart. And I just, you know, give God praise, because sometimes it words like this, the word of God needs to come forth for us as believers, as Christians, to check ourselves and to make sure that we, you know, are not walking out of our manipulations and our deceptions, you know, and trying to, in other words, control and to make someone do something for us, and to check ourselves, to check our walk, and to see, are we exemplifying, are we glorifying God, are we being the characteristics of him, are we showing compassion, are we being fair, you know, to strangers, are we being fair in business, and when we are put in a position, are we being fair? Are we doing things out of manipulation and deception because we want something in return? Amen. And so, you know, here the word of God has went forth, and he's showing us, and he's giving us example. And the word of God said, oh, man, you have no excuse. We no longer have an excuse that we didn't know. Amen, because if you're listening, you're hearing the word of God, and amen, it is up to you to receive it and to take it in. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, woman of God. We appreciate what God has spoken through you. We thank God for the topic, compassion and personal dealings, fairness in business, and rational for compassion. It is so important that we walk the walk and talk the talk. I thank God for every topic, every scripture that the women of God have came to the forefront with today that was led by the Almighty God. I thank God for everything that was said and uttered today by God, because I believe that the word of God would make a difference. It would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And a lot of times we do, we teach and we preach the gospel. Sometimes we really, we're reaching out many times to those that are not saved, those that know Jesus Christ as the Lord Savior, but those that are weak in the faith, those that are not strong, those that are on the milk of the word, then we need to be able to give as well, to have that teachable spirit. And even we ourselves that's on the meat of the word, we're on the meat of the word, and yet God is continually teaching us and leading us and guiding us. And there are things that are lacking in our heart that God wants to deal with. And I often think of sometimes Nebuchadnezzar in his walk as he being king, and the things that God dealt with him because he was in leadership, because he was the king, and because he walked it in pride, because he did not humble himself before the Most High God. God dealt with this man and caused him to be like the wild animals of the field, because he did not humble himself before God. And the same thing happened to his son, Belshazzar. The Lord had to deal with him when he also, not remembering, are refusing to remember what God had done to his father. And there are many examples that we see how God will deal with the men and women of God. We see how God dealt with David, when David sinned before him. We see that in the word of God. And those are examples for us to stand in the word of God and to believe God. We see how he dealt with Jonah. And that is another example of how God will deal with us. He loves us. He wants us to come up higher in our walk with him. He wants us to let our light so shine before men that others would see our good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We're getting ready to intercede for God, people today. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for giving us this day our daily bread. We thank you, God, for giving us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We just thank you, Lord God, for showing us how to walk fairly before your people. And Father, we thank you, God, for not giving us the spirit and keeping us, Father, with the spirit of lying. God, the spirit, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, of not doing our wages the way that we should do them. Father, we thank you, God, for correcting, God, every man, every woman, Father God, every merchant, anyone, God, that's not dealing, God, even with those things, God, that you have trusted them with. Father, even in the churches, Lord, even, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, those, God, that know you, Lord, cause that walk, cause our walk with you, God, to go to be strengthened, cause our walk with you, God, to be pure and righteous, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, we do know, God, that you are from the God. God, yes, we know, God, that we don't know the day or the hour that you're coming. But, Lord, I thank you today, God, that given us another opportunity, Father God, God, to come before you. And, Lord, all of those, God, in this breakthrough broadcast, audience, God, that is standing with us, that are hearing us today. Lord, God, if there is any wickedness, God, in the evenness, God, of deceitfulness, God, a spirit of deception, Lord God, if there is lying, Father God, Lord, I bind and I cast into the very pits of hell. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you, God, to do it even now. Lord, calls us, Lord, to be more compassionate, God, one with another. Call us to stop to love one another with a pure heart and with that right spirit. Let us, God, be fair in our business. Let us be fair in our personal dealings, God, with one another. I ask you, Lord, to call us, God, to have respect, Father, for those that are disabled. Lord, check our attitude, Lord God. God, check the attitudes, Lord God, of your people toward, God, those that are sick, those that Father God, infirmity of their body, those, God, that are sisters and brothers in Christ, whether there's an infirmities or not, God, check our attitude in the name of Jesus. And God, show us, God, how to restrain ourselves in speaking one to another. Show us how to restrain ourselves and not being a tell-bearer. God, keep us, Lord God. Keep your word before our faith. God, that we won't slander. God, that we won't destroy other people. God, that we'll walk peacefully, God, before you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, even now. Thank you, God, that we can help the needy, God. We can help those, Lord God, that are unfortunate, Lord God. Father, help us, Lord God, to do all of these things, God, that you have given us today through the study of your word. And we thank you again, Lord God, for all that you have done and all, God, you're going to do. Thank you, Lord God, for it's not been an act, but true compassion and acting in the way that you would act, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And this we thank you and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And Father, we thank you, Lord God. And we ask you, God, to look upon those that are not saved, those that don't know you as their personal Savior. God, those that heard the broadcast today, and they say, Lord, I want my life to change. Lord, I don't want to live another day without you in my life. Oh, Father, I ask you, Lord, to cause the fruit of the Spirit be manifested in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit. Father, I ask you, God, to forgive me for my sins, to come into my heart, and to save me, God, this day and this hour. Father, I ask you even now to cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. God, let them be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things become new. And this we thank you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory in your name. In your name, in Jesus' name, amen. We would like to thank all of you for joining us today on the Breakthrough Broadcast. We'd like to give special thanks again for Ms. Helen Cooper, Pastor Francina Shanks, Evangelist Geraldine Spencer, and to all of the pastors, evangelists, apostles, all of the household of faith, wherever you may be, that are listening. listening, that have taken the time to tune in to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Just tell a neighbor, tell your friend. If you're concerned about their soul, if you're concerned about their walk with God, please let them know that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air every Saturday at 4 o'clock. And we want to invite you to come and to be our guest as we step together, as we go before the Lord God, as he gives us revelation knowledge of his word. This has been the host of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, on the Breakthrough Broadcast. Come and be blessed again at the next appointed time. God bless you.